の彼方に光る星、青い地球は。
I'd like to give a little bit of background on Simon Parks. He's wrapping up another interview. It's a busy day for him in England as well. So he'll be here in just a minute. And I'm just replying to him now. But anyway, Simon is a fascinating fellow. He's a fascinating fellow. And I've known him now for about 5 years or so. And he always has something interesting to say. His parents were in MI5 and MI6 in British intelligence, and his mother also worked for American intelligence as well. So he has an interesting background. He's a former government official, I really like him. He has a perspective on things that's very unique. And one of the things I like about Simon is that he's got a heart of gold. He really does. He really cares about I'm just getting a note. He'll be with us in there we go. Okay, I wanted to send him out. But anyway, he's got a heart of gold, and I really like what he has to say. Okay, we've got it. Okay, good. Okay, Simon, let's see. Doug Simon's there. Let's see here. We can, there he is. Simon, hi, my friend.
Hello,
how are you doing?
I apologize for being late. Of course, it's a new format, and I had to find my way around that, but did manage it. Thank you.
Oh, good. It's great to see you. I ordered new equipment for my computers today, Simon, and they said it wouldn't get here till Monday. But the angels were behind me, and they got it. They got it to me yesterday or 2 days ago. So I'm happy about
that. Brilliant.
Well,
it's been a heck of a thing for you, hasn't it? Having to relocate the station out of Seattle and into California.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, I can. I bought up a whole bunch of new commuter equipment, so I can still stay in Washington, but I can go down there. I plan to visit the studio down in San Francisco here soon.
Okay.
But I can actually, I got a brand new webcam and upgraded computer, and it does everything except print plane tickets.
I got to ask, Ted, what's happened to Eric? Does Eric stay with the old station, or does he come with you?
No. He stays with the station. Yeah,
Shame, isn't it? Because he was very good.
Oh, he's excellent. Yeah, I know it. Well, maybe if I get the winning lottery ticket, I could always hire him away, I guess. And okay. I mean,
Did you have a goodbye party, you two?
I haven't yet, but I will have it probably next month. I will.
And have you made sure that all of your listeners and now viewers understand what happened? Have you made it very clear to them?
I've kept it kind of quiet out of respect for my station.
Oh.
But yeah.
Wrong with the truth, Ted?
That's true. Yeah, that's true, Simon. That's true.
Okay. Well, it's your call.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I will be explaining more about that next month.
Okay.
For now. For now, I'm still there, actually. I can explain more about that next month. But
sure.
There is a lot of censorship going on, Simon. And
I know. Particularly in your, as we say in Great Britain, in your neck of the woods, that part of the U.S. is quite difficult.
Yeah. We've had. I think I wrote you the other day. We've got troops on the ground here, actually, in Fort Lewis.
Yes, they come from the Canadian border, weren't they?
They flew down from Alaska.
Yeah.
Yeah, they flew down from Alaska. Yeah, they're from Elmendorf Air Force Base. And also, too, I got a report last week. I tried to send you the link, but they wouldn't let me send it to you. It was the Hell's Angels have come up here last weekend, and they wanted to scrape with the Capitol Hill folks. So it's a potent mix. It's a potent mix, and I
I think Ted, that literally things are moving to a big decision. And I did say on my own show that, mm-hmm. you know, I got it wrong. I was absolutely convinced this showdown wouldn't come until 2021. But I think, I am just guessing, I think because certain people thought that President Trump was still electable, they didn't want to risk him being reelected. So, you know, this is all kicked off. Right. So it's just brought everything, squeezed it all into 3-5 month period. So it is interesting, but it's difficult.
Right. What are things like where you live? Is it still shut down, or are there disturbances there as well, Simon? Or is it?
The only disturbances we have are with statues, where groups of people wanted to pull down overtly racist statues, and I personally don't have a problem with that. Actually, the difficulty occurred when some of these statues were very close to the elite. So Winston Churchill, some of these young kids who are being paid to cause a bit of trouble decided they would turn on the statue of Winston Churchill. Well, I think the very people who were paying them to cause a problem soon told them to stop doing that, because Winston Churchill, who was unquestioningly a great war leader, was also a part of the elite. I think that there are certain statues which are targetable and certain statues which people would rather that you didn't target. So it's a two-class system, if you like. No, there's no other demonstrations here. We are going from the 6-foot rule, what they call in Europe the 2-meter rule, social distancing, down to 3 feet. So we are halving the social distancing, and the lockdown is nearly finished.
I see. Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does that apply to married couples too? They have to tell them that they love each other on Zoom or Skype, or?
No, I think that was never going to be enforced by the. Britain is a very strange place. Okay. It's a very strange place. The reality is that laws are passed, but people don't really take notice of them. That's what Great Britain is. Laws are passed, people don't really follow them. The reason that people did by and large follow the greater rule was simply because, of course, Britain is a much smaller country than the US.
Right.
And so we all live within a few miles of a hospital or a senior's home. And so it was very obvious to British people that there were large numbers of people getting this virus. Right. And so everyone knew somebody who'd either had it and got over it, mm-hmm. or had it and had died. So literally that it wasn't so much the pressure from government, but it was the pressure within families. So families were being very careful. In my own organization, Connecting Consciousness, we had one coordinator who caught it. And thankfully is okay, but was desperately ill. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it hit in different ways. So no, Britain is okay. Our concern, right. of course, is the second wave, right. which is on its way. Right. So we will have to see how we do with that.
You asked earlier about censorship, and I think I should address a little bit of that. I've been broadcasting for 7 years, and they've never told me what I couldn't say. And they've been giving me lots of freedom, and it's been a great place to broadcast. Yeah. However, recently, the tone of the country's become quite different. And they want me to only focus in on a narrow band. And for the time being, I will do that out of respect for the station. But that's the other reason why I've established this second channel in San Francisco, so I have more freedom to address subjects that I don't feel constrained about. And it's a time, if you look at the US Constitution, it says freedom of speech. As long as you're not, wanting to riot and terrorist activities, I can understand that. But just having your opinion within a certain range, that should be allowed. But many places it's being curtailed across the country, which is unfortunate. there's like a certain mindset you have to adhere to. And if you fall out of that with the truth, then they go after you and they try to shut you down. So, you know, that's what happened. That's what's happened to me, and I think many others too. So it's something I hadn't experienced before, and I was quite surprised, to say the least. So
I think it's interesting. If you stand on a sidewalk, mm-hmm. and as long as you're not racist or sexist or violent or anything like that,
sure.
you should be protected by the Constitution. But if you went into a picture house, a cinema, or a bar, there's always a sign that says the management have the right to refuse entry. And so even though you didn't break any rules or laws from the federal or the government's point of view, the owner of the property can say, I no longer want you. And so what's happening is that there's a politicization of organizations who up until very recently weren't bothered. It wasn't important to them, but they've all got the phone call, they've all had the knock on the door, and they've all been told, those who are in that particular club, Ted, they've been told to follow a certain script. And if you're not on that script, then you're out. However, there are more good people than bad, and I think that it will only increase the audienceship of your station, because people will say, well, he's been chucked out, he's been thrown off, so there must be something good here. Let's listen to what he has to say.
That's true. Well, I am also establishing a third station in Miami, and then another station as well. So it's opened up doors that weren't open before during this whole thing. So I like to speak the truth about what's going on, and I will continue to do that. So if I can't do it on one platform, I'll do it on this platform and other platforms, doors that have opened up to me. So, and it's important to get these messages out. This morning I was a keynote speaker at a Peace and Light conference in the Dominican Republic and in Mexico. Wow. That was broadcast throughout Central and South America, and I had many good messages to talk about there.
Oh, that's lovely. That's nice.
And they don't censor there either, but very positive.
No, messages. It's funny, isn't it, that Mexico is very misunderstood, actually.
Yeah. It wasn't shut down. I don't think they've had hardly any virus cases, and the country's doing fine economically. It's doing fine because they didn't shut down at all. They're still open for business. So, yeah. So I think we're going to reach, I don't know, I think the July 4th weekend, there'll be a lot of things going on here. It's a symbolic weekend, of course, with the independence, with the troops next door in Fort Lewis. I think they're there. I don't think President Trump is necessarily going to use them, but if they're necessary to quell violence, I could see them bringing them in. I don't know. I hope it doesn't escalate.
My hearing is that the troops were particularly moved in to your location, maybe, you know, the head of the legislature there, maybe has gone a little bit too far.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe so. When I broadcast in Bellevue in Seattle, my station is only, it's about a mile and a half, two miles away from Bill Gates' mansion. I mean, it's right there. And then from my governor here, in Olympia, it's only an hour away. So, I mean, everything's here. And I remember on a radio show, the last time you were on, you mentioned that the cabal was quite, had a lot of power in this area. You talked
yes.
about that.
It yeah. is. It's one of the strongholds.
Really? Wow.
It's one of the strongholds. It was, I think I might have mentioned it in 2016 to you, but it was the only state, and within that, it was the only city that allowed FEMA guards to ride along with regular cops, but to actually have the same powers. And the only way you could tell the difference was the badge on the left shoulder. so their uniforms were identical. It was the only state where FEMA guards were riding with cops, not just on a rider, but actually operating as a cop. And that happened because the elite are so embedded in Seattle. Seattle is a hotbed. And I would suggest to you that that's one of the reasons that the, I think it's 600 troops, I think it's a battalion, 600 troops have been moved across there. Seattle is a very interesting place and one that I know the president has got an eye on.
Yeah. Well, there are troop movements. You can see them in the area. You can see them on the freeways. You can hear the helicopters above. At night, you can hear them testing machine guns. You can hear them firing in Tacoma. There's stuff going on more than usual. I mean, they do test it. They have been their maneuvers, but it's amped up about maybe 8 to 10 times more troop movements than you normally see.
I need just to ask you, is this on your Seattle radio show at the moment, Ted? Are we on that or are we on?
We are on San Francisco.
Oh, well, I can tell you then that I did actually mention that to somebody that it got to the White House that your show was being pushed off. And as one of the speakers who would support you and the line that you have, I was being pushed off as well. And within 3 days of that, then there have been some developments. So don't underestimate your reach.
Okay, thank you. I've been told that I reach more people than I realize.
Well, yes, you do, because the software doesn't always add it up, because it gets played again to somebody and played somewhere else, and you know, you don't get the numbers.
Right. Well, I had six different U.S. presidents come to me a week ago at 3 o'clock in the morning, Simon.
That's busy for you.
And they were all, they wanted to talk to me about saving the Republic.
Right.
It was Presidents Jefferson, George Washington, Dwight Eisenhower, John F. Kennedy, James Madison, a whole bunch of them. And so that was my first hour. I gave their messages on saving the Republic. And I was going to do that show on my Seattle station last Friday, but after I said, forget it, I can't talk about anything. But and then I thought, no, I better have Simon on my new show. So I'm so honored to have you on my new show today.
I'm really pleased because, you know, it's great to start it off in a positive way. And I just think that, you know, you often these things hit us, and the elite's object is to, you know, put their boot on us. But humanity being what it is, we bounce back and we find new avenues. And far from crushing you, it's actually going to let you expand. And it looks very mean-spirited of somebody to close down a radio station because they don't like your views. That's dangerous. You know, you should, as a radio station, be allowed to broadcast, providing you stay within the rules of decency and the law on anything. And the guy that, you know, you pay your money to shouldn't be interested in that. But the fact they're interested in it shows that ordinary people who perhaps otherwise wouldn't have woken up will start to ask questions. So in many ways, it does more good than harm.
That's true. My friend Albert Einstein always told me, you know, things happen for a reason. And there's often a silver lining in everything that happens. So,
yes.
You know, but anyway, yeah. Well, I think an astrology friend of mine told me that the years between 2015, Simon, and 2030 will be one of the most significant events in human history, with all kinds of changes happening. And he also said this year, 2020, and the end of this year, November, December, will be some of the most dramatic changes. He didn't specify, but that was Joseph Anthony out of Sedona, Arizona, wonderful astrologer who's actually been very accurate. He's been at it for 30 years.
I totally agree. I think that, you know, I think I've got my attention on 2024, 2025.
Okay, as a time for shifting into the fifth dimension?
As the time that it all changes. Yes, it all changes.
Well. Well, all of the presidents said to know that good times are ahead for all of us and stay the course. And we're being helped more than we realize, Simon. We have a lot of help out there. And the other thing, too, is that the media, the mass media here in the United States anyway, Simon, is largely controlled. So they paint this picture of negativity all the time, even though there may be a lot of good things going on here.
Sure.
And I think there are a lot of good things going on.
I agree. I'm shocked at when I look at the regular U.S. media, where the demonstrations are just shown as largely black people legitimately demonstrating. What they haven't been showing is the destruction of the shops. And I've said on my own show that some of these shops employed local black and white people. So when these mobs destroy and loot a shop, they're putting out people who've got no job now. And you know, those people who lost their work, they weren't part of a racist cabal group. They were just ordinary, regular men and women who went Monday to Friday or Saturday to work. Now they can't. And this is the point. As an ex-lawmaker myself, I don't understand the logic, because let's take a store that employs six people in downtown Seattle, and it's been burnt to the ground. Those six people aren't going to go and vote for somebody who says, let's defund the police. They're going to vote for somebody who's going to protect their jobs.
Right.
So I actually think whatever happens on November the 3rd in America, electorally, it'll be very interesting to see what happens in Seattle.
Yeah, I agree. This may be another factor too, and you're find this interesting. I talked to the attorney who represented George Floyd 3 years ago. He had some court proceedings in Texas. He sent me his death certificate. He said the real George Floyd died 3 years ago. And the person, whoever he is in Minneapolis, was an actor. And the other two policemen were also crisis actors. And he sent me a video showing that they were also involved with Sandy Hook too. So it seems to be a stage setup.
Wasn't that a very brave, courageous thing of that attorney to do that? Why would he do that?
I saw his Facebook post and he said, I'm tired of the lies and I want the truth out. And so I said, well, I can do something about that if you want me to. And so,
sorry, Ted, didn't mean to be rude and talk over you. It hasn't unfortunately got any traction though, has it? Because it's not being covered anywhere at the moment.
It was covered on my show a couple of weeks ago, but then I got that call the week later.
Yeah.
For censorship. So I don't, he was a court appointed attorney. The guy was a former football player. He'd gotten on hard times, ended up in a hospital. He was at his bedside, he said, when he died. Mm-hmm. And he even told me where where he's buried too. And a friend of mine knows his gravesite. So I've asked her to send me the pictures. So you'll send them to you.
You'll find that's been bulldozed.
So there won't be anybody there anymore. But then you got to ask yourself, with all due respect to his family, and I'm not saying that this is true or not, but his family in Minneapolis has had, last time I checked, has collected $12.5 million in bereavement fee in donations from bereavement. Now, a good question to ask is, I don't know whether this is true or not, but if it's not the right George Floyd family, then that's a scam. The whole thing's a scam, you know, and a lot of people have been rioting and dying because of a scam.
Absolutely. I'm sure it's been split 50-50 between some of the Democrats who've organized it and those who put their faces up for it. Absolutely positive on it.
Yeah. So, you know, I think you have to remember that not everything is what it says, what it is. Actually, you have to look beyond that.
Sure.
And I also trust my guides and angels too. If they tell me something's false, well, I go with that, you know.
Yes.
So I don't mean disrespect to anybody. I'm just saying what the information I've got. And if anybody
a legitimate lawyer, you know, who's prepared to say that, I mean, that guy is throwing away his career, he's throwing away the rest of his life, but he's reached a point maybe where he can't sleep at night, and maybe that's the point. He wants to be open and honest.
Right, right. Well, I did. I talked about it. He gave me the information. I shared it on the airwaves, and then I invited him on, and he disappeared on me.
Yeah, well, he probably had a knock on the door, didn't he?
Probably did, but I kind of let it go since then. I figured I just let it play out. But people should be aware everything is not as it seems. Mm-hmm. Now, the other interesting thing, messages I got, and I wanted to share it with you, and we can talk about it freely here,
okay.
Is that the negatives are planning 3 more events this year. I'm reluctant to talk about it because I don't want to put any energy to it, and I hope they don't happen, but I think people should be aware of it. The first would be involving some sort of incident at a Muslim mosque, probably in the South, with fake crisis actors, with President Trump for President bumper stickers on the back of their vehicles, where they have some sort of incident and somebody gets hurt. That's the first thing. A second thing would be involving Hispanics in this country. And a third thing would be the release of a new, more harmful virus in the fall, probably around mid-September. I don't look at them as necessarily happening, but perhaps people, I haven't mentioned this before, and I wanted to mention it to you to know if you've heard of anything like that.
We've certainly heard of the virus. The dates I've been given for it are from mid-August into September. So
I was given September 12th, the day after September 11th.
Okay, I haven't been given the dates. All we've got is from mid-August to September.
Okay.
But that exactly falls in with what you're doing there.
Right.
The Hispanics generally vote for the Democrats, but last time some of them voted for Trump, so I can understand why they would try and do that. And clearly the fake Muslim attack is purely and simply just another race card being played.
Right.
But I think the weakness of their attack, 5 years ago, we would have expected a nuclear explosion, dirty bomb. So the level of their capability, oddly enough, has been sizably reduced. Mm-hmm. They are absolutely, totally fixated on preventing Trump being reelected. That's what this is all about. It's all about preventing him from winning another term of office. We just have to wait and see how it all goes.
And if I express support for Trump on my station, I get censored.
No, it just shows you, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. What can I say? I think we'll get through this. I think that the Constitution is there for a reason.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are waking up. I don't think they'll be able to turn it. I don't think they'll be able to change the tide myself, Simon.
You see, we haven't got any overt evidence for it, but we can only talk about what we know and what we reasonably know. And, you know, had Hillary Clinton been elected, I truly, genuinely believe that the military would have come out on the streets. I absolutely believe that. Regular troops. Okay. Not because the Republican Party put them there, but because the generals decided that the Constitution was under threat. Now, if President Trump loses this election and loses it unfairly through scamming or manipulation, I think you can expect to see the troops out there. I really do. Well, so we'll see how it plays out.
Sure, sure. Mail-in ballots have a lot of, there's a lot of opportunity for fraud.
Yeah.
And we have mail-in ballots here in Washington State. I've never felt comfortable with it. Governor Newsom in California just signed an executive order for mail-in ballots in California. But he's also being recalled now, too. And there's a lot of people signing signatures. I don't think he's going to make it, personally. I don't know.
Is it because of all the rules he's put in the last 3 months? Is that why they're recalling him?
Yeah, he's shut down businesses and kept many communities in California to the point of bankruptcy. And people are getting sick of it. There's a lot of communities just opening up and saying, arrest us. Hmm. Kind of thinking, you know, churches having services. And they say something like, well, this is our First Amendment right to have a freedom of religion, to worship God. You can't stop
it. Actually,
us.
Is that exactly what it's there for?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it's up to us to make a difference and make things better. So it's not easy, but you know, you just do what you can, basically.
Yeah. It'll be very interesting, won't it, to see what happens if there's enough votes pulled in to call that recall.
Yeah. How are things? I have to ask you, Simon. I didn't tell you this, but I got an email 2 or 3 weeks ago, out of the blue, from it's a BBC article on the 5G thing, and they were talking to Spiro Gyllene about the BioSeals and about you, and I wrote them back and I said, this is a bunch of nonsense. How did you get my name? Why are you sending me this? If you think this one little article will change my mind about BioShield and Simon, forget it. So then I didn't hear from them again. But I don't know. How's that going, by the way?
So because in the alternative or truthful industry, the BBC is not trusted. Mm-hmm. So when they come out and say something, everybody does the opposite.
Right.
So, you know, it'll do me good. And the more the BBC talk me like that, then the better for me. So it's fine.
Right. I have to ask you, we have a bunch of questions, and I know we've got here, maybe the next time we can bring it. They asked, the question came in, and also about your post about the, I've got two computers here, and I've got a bunch of stuff on my other screen. That's why I look away. But the lightning that struck the Moshen Monument took the form of a large reptilian eye.
Yes, it did.
I got several emails about that to ask you about that. Do you think that was a sign? I guess.
Yeah, it was. Some people unfortunately misinterpreted it. They thought it was the letter Q. I can see how they would think that.
Right.
But it's not the letter Q. It is a reptilian eye.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And that's actually coming from the bad guys.
The
bad guys sending a threat and a warning to the stone that's considered the monument, the national monument. So it's a threat against President Trump.
Okay, interesting. Okay, thank you for sharing that. Now, to be honest, Simon, I had that one conference this morning in Mexico to do, and then my show yesterday, and then today. But coffee's a wonderful stimulant, so I've been drinking lots of coffee. But I haven't been able to read fully this article on your post. It says, Trump Does the Unthinkable by Liz Crocklin. Could you go over that briefly? It's a long article, but...
Yeah, I think I would just recommend people go to my website, simonparks.org, and have a look at that.
Okay.
This is a journalist. The dogs barking, by the way, Ted, are not dogs barking in this house. They are outside on the sidewalk.
Okay.
this is a journalist who was asked to do the dirty on Trump, but actually when she looked into it, he was actually an incredibly good guy, and she had all the lists of, over the years, all the great things that he'd done. He'd given money to people, he'd heard if someone was, you know, down on their luck or they'd lost their job or something, and he just literally sent them a check through the post. There were a couple of occasions where there was a kid that was really sick, and he provided his own private airplane to fly this sick kid to the hospital.
Amazing.
So I thought it was nice that we would just put that out there, because the established media are not going to do it. And it was just a list from a journalist of all the things that Trump had done, which he didn't have to do, because he did it anonymously, you see. He didn't do it and then on his TV show and blow a trumpet. And because she was a journalist, she had access to the information. So it's literally about that. So if people go on to simonparks.org, you can have a look at that. It's really quite fascinating how that man, President Trump, has helped people in a really humane way.
Well, I have to add this. This is a post I saw early this morning, just before I got online for my conference in Mexico, that there was a very sensitive Trump Twitter post that President Trump tried to post, expressing condolences for the George Floyd family and for blacks fighting racism in the States. It was a good post. Yeah. Then I saw that was the first post. Then the second post I see, Twitter's taken it off because they don't want anything from that, from the Trump campaign going on, that people know that he's sensitive to racial issues. And I thought that was kind of unfair to do that. So,
well, you see, this is what I meant, Ted, when I said that I made a misjudgment. Mm-hmm. I thought this battle, I don't think people perhaps fully understand what I'm trying to say. That's because I'm not being clear. I thought this battle was coming next year. The battle that we're talking about is the final battle. It's the final battle for the mouthpiece of the control system. And so what's happened is that these people have decided that they want the fight this side of November the 3rd and not afterwards. And so what we've got is a very strong build-up now between the two sides for the hearts and minds of the American people.
I see. Interesting. Interesting. Well, I think most people, when they realize, Simon, that the media is controlled, that President Trump can't make his post expressing condolences to Black people and racism, he's against racism in the States, that people will start asking questions as to why they're doing that, you know?
Well, they will, because it's the same way they should ask a question. Why did a Ted Marsh show get kicked out of one state and he had to go to another? What did Ted Marsh do that was illegal? Oh, he didn't do anything illegal. He just said something that somebody didn't like. So what that does is it makes people question the values of these people who are making the judgment calls. Right. And American people are very fair, generally, I find. And they like to give everyone a chance. And they may not like what they have to say, but they give people a chance. And they won't like it that the President of the United States is being prevented from speaking to them. Now, that's the point. Because Twitter and other forums are the way that the president likes to talk to the American people. Now, who in the name of God, and I mean that deliberately, who in the name of God has the right to say that the president can't speak to the people of America? Who are these people that can come in and say, we're not going to let you hear that? Now, that's dangerous. And I think most American people, regardless of what they vote, would not be happy with a private company, that's what it is, a private company telling the elected leader of the United States who he can and cannot speak to. Now, that's the battle I'm talking about between corporate America and the people through the people's president.
Sure. Well, that makes perfect sense, actually. And why? And that's a good question. And I think most people can see through that, actually. You know,
I hope so, Ted. I hope so. I hope people will, you know, it might be the straw that breaks the camel's back, because, you know, President Trump has hundreds of thousands of people following him on Twitter. And that means every time that he's censored from speaking, those people will be aware that he's been prevented from speaking.
Sure.
And that will actually do him more good than harm.
I'll never forget the time I had spent the summer of 1979 at the London School of Economics studying law there.
Oh, LSE, yeah.
LSE, it was a fun time. Well, I pick up a paper at Heathrow on the way back to Seattle on an old Pan Am flight, and I grab the paper and I get on the plane and I'm reading it, and it says AIDS was created in a U.S. laboratory by the U.S. government. That's the front page and all these sites and everything. I get back to the States, I'm in Seattle, and none of it is reported, nothing. And I show this is before the internet. I said, look at this paper. I just came from England. This is what they're reading in Europe right now. Nothing's here, nothing on the news, everything's controlled. So that was one of my first instances where I realized something was wrong with this picture and they were controlling the news, so.
I it wasn't 79, it would have been 81 or 82 in my place of work. I remember we were talking about it and how AIDS was made in a laboratory in the US. So in London anyway, where I worked at the time, it was an open discussion. And so it is interesting. I don't think that would be the case today. I think that the control system in Britain now is as bad as it is in America in some respects. And I don't think that those sort of discussions would be allowed anymore. And this is what I keep coming back to. There is a fundamental battle now between the forces of good and the forces of not so good for the hearts and minds of the English-speaking world.
Right.
That's what's being played out now, and mm-hmm. It's in our lifetimes.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. I wanted to ask you about this whole movement to defund the police. I know in Seattle, the Seattle mayor has said she wants to defund the police. The New York mayor, Bill de Blasio, has pledged to defund the police in New York. If you don't have the police, what do you got left? You've got the mafia. What do you do, pay protection money to gangsters?
New York should be very happy with its history of the mafia. I mean, come on. I mean, the point was that in those days, it was all not totally underground, but a lot of it was underground. Mm-hmm. And like you say, what are you offering voters? What are you offering people? Are you offering them a world where there'll be no police? My argument would be that's fine as long as the money that they would normally raise in taxes to pay for the police, that would have to be given back to people, because if there's no police or there's a reduction, then they should pay less taxes. So let's see if that happens. But on a serious note, I cannot believe in a big city that the public are going to vote for any administration that would mean that their children, their wives, their brothers, their husbands, their businesses could be less well protected, because they haven't even thought about this. And I'm just going to throw it out to you, Ted. Mm-hmm. Let's say you've got a business, and why not? You've got a business, and the local governor defunds the police. What they haven't thought about is all of the insurance companies are then going to come to those businesses and say, we want a 50% increase, because the likelihood of a police officer, a cop, turning up to catch anybody who's stealing from your shop is zero. So it's very likely. So you're going to have to pay us 50% more. So all the insurances for any public event or action is going to have to be much more expensive. These people haven't thought it through. It's a vote loser. And from the elite, the evil point of view, they think it's great. The reality is the silent majority, they don't want that. They want to live in peace. So, you know, it's not a vote winner for the evil mob.
Yeah, yeah, amazing. Well, what about, I've heard stories about Minneapolis. I've got clients in that area.
Okay.
A lot of businesses are moving out. Truckers now will not go into Minneapolis to deliver any supplies because the insurance companies won't cover them. If there's not going to be any police, they're not going to go into. So the whole thing is just going to implode upon itself.
This is exactly my point.
Yeah.
And the point is that although they can stop the information coming out through the main news, people have got family, they've got friends. And they explain it. And the business world in America is very tight-knit. One trucker in Alaska will be talking in some point to a trucker in Hawaii.
Right,
so
right.
That information will come across. And by the time of the election on November the 3rd, I think the choice is going to be very clear. What that choice will be, I don't know. But I think that by the time November comes along, I think people will have made up their mind what they want. Do they want a lawless state?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even say you're going back to the jolly old days of Tombstone because they'll want to take away everybody's guns.
Right.
So what do people want? Do they want this so-called free and easy society with no law, no rules, no regulations, where everyone just smashes each other's windows and steals from each other? Or actually, do they want some form of law and order? And that, I think, is going to be a big part of the election.
I think what's happened too, Simon, I don't know if it's been like this there, but here especially, people are tired of being shut down and locked up. It's like house arrest. And maybe I'm wrong on this, but I'll throw it out, that just like the weekend of George Floyd's, the incident with George Floyd in Minneapolis, that weekend were scheduled for protests up and down the West Coast and across the country against the shutdown in the states like Oregon, California, Washington, and New York. There were going to be peaceful protests, but protests nevertheless, and where we can do that under the First Amendment. But then the George Floyd incident happens, everything was canceled, and all the frustrations I think people had on the shutdown, I mean, they're tired of being home, that erupted with the help of violent demonstrators from Antifa, but that helped it in these riots. So
Ted also, Hillary Clinton was giving her name and address. to court, wasn't she, the same time?
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
So
she was.
That, again, was designed deliberately to take the attention off it.
Yeah,
because I didn't want to even, I mean, I think my understanding is she only literally went in just to say not guilty and to give her name and address and details. And then,
oh, that's right.
To a later date.
You're right. That's right.
So it was, so that was designed to take that off the hot table.
So no one knew about it. I mean, it was probably buried in the obituaries.
The established media were never going to cover it.
Right.
But just in case anybody did, then they legitimately gave them a headline-grabbing story, which is what they did.
Wow, amazing, amazing. Well, it's a same old shell game, isn't it? I mean, you know, you get, it's like a musician on a stage. You hold your hand up like this, and you're behind your back, they're doing something else, and they don't realize it.
No, except now I think what's happening is that mirrors are being put around the back, and the audience now are beginning to see what's playing behind the magician's back. So I do think it's unraveling for these people who have held sway for thousands of years. And the very fact that they are having to do this huge pantomime over the English speaking world is because they are unsure and unused to the level of inquiry that is now being put towards them. And so this is all about distraction because they don't know how else to handle it. And I think there are a lot of very wealthy people who are frightened for themselves because they're beginning to realize that the island, shall we call it, that they have been on their little desert island is getting smaller and smaller. And that the jaws of humanity are coming closer and closer. So unfortunately, it making them more mad and more crazy, but it has to happen. It has to play out because humanity, Ted, must be offered these choices. If every day was wonderful, we would never have a choice and we would never learn from it.
That's true.
We are being faced with this so that a percentage of us have the choice to see the truth and move forward.
It's like the contrast and colors of the rainbow. You only know green when you see in relation to yellow or blue or black or white or red or orange. And so it's like this. You know when times are good, when you can appreciate a country that has freedom in it and no censorship. That's the whole point of the Constitution. And you don't realize how valuable, you often don't realize how valuable you cherish something until it's gone or somebody tries to take it away from you.
Well, I know you're absolutely right. Just the mere threat of this change made Americans buy more guns over the period of March, April than ever have been bought before.
That's true.
And that shows that I think there's a level of human psyche that is aware that there's problems around the corner. And I think that that mass of American brain power will begin to see the truth. And talking about rainbows, your curtains, your drapes behind you are almost a rainbow anyway, aren't they?
They are from Peru, from Cusco, actually.
Yes.
And they're hiding my refrigerator. And I figured it'd be more fun to have that up than seeing my laundry list of what I need to buy at the store next time. So
I think it's fantastic, beautiful, vibrant colors, and it's brought the coast of the South America to your room.
Oh well, thank you, nice. Simon. Thank you.
I think we must be near our time now, Ted.
We've got about 100 seconds left.
Wow, you see, we don't have Eric anymore to tell me that time's running out. I'll miss him because he was always the one to say you're running out of time.
Yeah.
So maybe one day I'll hear Eric's voice once again.
Yeah, I could ask him if I could have you on. I'd love to have you on again in Seattle. That'd be fun.
but we could only talk about certain things, Ted.
Right. We could talk about the weather if you want.
Yes, let's do that. Or the cartoons. We love cartoons. We'll do that.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be fun.
it would be a real challenge to see if we could just not talk about the truth for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it would be a challenge, wouldn't it, Simon? Well,
listen, it's wonderful to see you on your new show.
Thank you.
It will only get bigger and it will expand. And, you know, Seattle's loss, everyone else's gain.
Okay. Thank you so much, Simon, for saying that. I really appreciate it.
I will always support you because, you know, you came here to talk the truth. And yeah. Nobody was going to blackmail you, Ted.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. Take care, my friend. Have a good day. Thank you, Simon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye-bye. Well, my friends, thank you so much for listening to my first live show from the San Francisco Bay Area on BBS Radio. This has been so much fun. I'll be broadcasting now every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And I hope everyone has a really happy and wonderful day. Thank you so much again for tuning into my show today. Thank you so much.
光る星